Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Cat lovers and feline friends, it's time for Adele Park's Quirky Catnips.
Today on the Quirky Catnips podcast, we're airing a chapter of Quirky Cat Gets Ghosted, which we will do until the entire audiobook has been broadcasted. We invite all you kitties to kick back now, relax, and enjoy Quirky Cat Gets Ghosted by Adele Park.
Audio Recording St. George presents Quirky Cat Gets Ghosted. Written, produced, and edited by Adele Park. Narrated by a full cast.
A directive from Gertrude Fletcher, head of the Naval Utah Department of Motor Vehicles. Part 12.
Coercion is a powerful weapon, one that I know all too well. The bedrock of my entire career was built upon coercion. Don't confuse this with an inability to stand up for myself. I may be small in stature, but I know how to work the other side of coercion to my advantage. People in crime syndicates use coercion as skillfully as weapons. The implied threat is often enough to get people to act. It saves on bullets. I was not coerced to work off the debt at the horse track incurred by Papa. This was strictly my idea. It was only after proving my value to the owners of the track that I became truly ensnared in their plans. You might be wondering if I went along to get along. Yes and no. What I did do was observe and report. On more levels than many realize. People tend to forget I'm in the room, perhaps because of my size, but mostly because of my ability not to engage in pointless chatter. I also have a great memory with an almost uncanny ability to neatly file names, figures, and other important details into little folders in my mind. I can recall things that happened decades ago, with near-perfect clarity. The owners of the track weren't the only ones who took notice of these skills. In time, I began to get leaned on from more than one group. My strong mental fortitude kept me from being swallowed up, a skill that came in handy when I took over running the Department of Motor Vehicles. Animals can be coerced even easier than humans. Not that this is a practice I would recommend. After all, who is so desperate they would bully a harmless animal? Some might argue Skitters the cat doesn't fall into the harmless category. That said, strong-armed tactics are sometimes necessary in life and death situations. And this is exactly what is upon us now. Blue McKenna is trapped between life and death, leaving Blue with no option but to convince Skitters he needs to join forces to remedy the situation. With some cats, this might not be a problem. Unfortunately, Skitters isn't just some cat. Next!
In case you haven't noticed, you've been ghosted.
Chapter 12. Skitters the Cat.
Jasper Stratton had to let me in. I'm a credentialed member of the press, besides being an emotional support animal. Brandon had to cough up almost $100 to get me certified. He's such a tightwad. Parting with that much drug money almost sent him into anaphylactic shock. Not that he had any choice. Scotty Sphincter called Brandon's bluff the day I trotted into his medical clinic in Naval. The nurses were all like, oh, what a sweet kitty. To know me is to love me. I enjoy being recognized as a valued part of the press. The word press is right on my collar. Taj made it out of black duct tape with painted on letters, but it still counts. I've been in every important building in Naval. the judicial complex, the naval base hospital, the city council chambers. Hell, they even let me into the Celestial Kingdom for a musical thing Brandon was covering. Scotty shoots me a dirty look every time I trot into his butthole factory. I'm continually amazed by the humans who spend time in his waiting room, knowing their destiny is to have a tube shoved up their stink wrinkle. What is wrong with these people? Maxwell, smart that he is, Brandon's plan to uncover the dastardly doings at Juniper Hollow backfired spectacularly. Jasper Stratton didn't look pleased when we showed up to retrieve Brandon's backpack. I got a little nervous when Jasper insisted we come up to his rumpus room on the second floor of the residence. Couldn't he just give us the backpack? Apparently not. It was still sitting on the floor where Brandon had left it the night before. Jasper plucked the surveillance monitor out of the backpack, holding it like he had just pulled a severed hand out of the Ganges River. Pools of sweat formed under Brandon's arms. It looked like he was using his armpits to melt snowballs. In an oddly calm tone, Jasper asked why he was being surveilled in his own home. Well, now that he put it that way, it was sort of an invasion. Having listened in on Jasper's Friday night frolic on the baby monitor, I can see why he's distressed. Without a doubt, Jasper is the master of the desert dungeon called Juniper Hollow. It was the feather boas and the schlong thongs that caught everyone by surprise. Not joking here. Jasper and his cronies flounced through their Friday nights playing a salacious game of Dungeons and Drag Queens. We didn't have video proof of this, thank God. Not that I'm opposed to a little hokey with the pokey. I just don't need the specifics. I've already suffered enough watching Blue go at it with Scotty Sphincter when she was still alive. No one said a word. The atmosphere in Jasper's testosterone holding tank was tense, interrupted only by the exceedingly annoying gum popping coming from Jasper's lackey. Brandon had been hoping Jasper would be alone. I could probably make a run for it, but felt obligated to defend my handler. Maybe I could scratch the shit out of one of these guys. Mark him up with a few love bites. Both Jasper and his bruiser were in shorts, showing tanned quads bulging underneath the constraints of their temple garments. Mormons by day, dancing queens by night. Jasper's placid demeanor was unnerving. His signature smile had skipped off to Cincinnati. Jasper's sidekick was a little less subtle. He moved into Brandon's personal space, looking like he was itching to cream someone. I extended my claws, positioning myself a few inches away from his steroid-enhanced calf. This asshole could kick me to Uranus and back. The best I could hope for was a mouthful of flesh on the trip out. I didn't question why I was willing to risk life and limb on behalf of a sarcastic teenager. If I had to guess, it would be the bacon burgers from Holy Cow, our favorite fast food joint in Naval. Brandon bitches that he's putting the owner's kids through college. Not my fault. I'm just a working cat with a healthy appetite. Jasper's bodyguard was breathing hard, panting like a rabid dog being restrained by a shock collar. I have a peculiar habit of wiggling my butt before I lunge for something. It makes my caboose tingle and gets me psyched for a good pounce. Jasper put a restraining hand on his friend's cyclopean bicep, calming the violence this vitamin pusher was clearly longing to unleash. I went ahead and swiped his ankle, loving the shards of skin I raked up with my nails. Neanderthal man swung his battering ram of an arm straight at me in retaliation. By then, I had already skittered off. That's why my name is Skitters, you Mark McGuire, Jose Canseco, Barry Bonds wannabe. Don't you know steroids withers your dick? Kind of surprised these clowns were so eager to show off their undoubtedly shrunken circus peanuts. Brandon was floundering between panic and resignation. He'd been caught red-handed. Jasper wanted to know if Brandon planned to out him in the Naval Weekly Banner. His normally chipper tone subdued, Jasper explained his posse consisted of hard-working men who would be ostracized by their families and communities if their weekend activities were made public. Divorces would ensue. Children would be forced to choose between their parents. Money would be lost from the Mormon multi-level marketing pyramid they'd all worked so hard to scale. A gaggle of guys dancing around in rhinestone-encrusted weenie bikinis isn't news, even in a place like Naval, where morals are high, but the people, unfortunately, are not. Brandon tried to explain this in the kindest tone a teenager can muster.
Don't sweat it. No one cares what you do with your junk.
To lighten the mood, Brandon went on to disclose his best friend Taj was also a member of the Lollipop Guild. No one thought that was funny. Jasper's chubby chaser was clenching and unclenching his fists. I didn't know if Jasper would constrain him a second time. Then Brandon asked about Kelly, Jasper's wife. Jasper noted the obvious. Kelly couldn't locate her own boobs using both hands and a compass, despite owning the mother of all mammaries. Jasper rolled out a sob story, complete with a confession that his marriage was motivated by money. Kelly was the third daughter, born into a pompous and privileged family in Provo, the Mecca of Mormonism. Her father was a well-known plastic surgeon, using his wife and daughters as a canvas for displaying his skills. Kelly's mother was a religious social climber, angling to get her hubby into the Quorum of 70. This is a prestigious arm of the Mormon Church men aspire to in hopes of ensuring everyone is so despondent they can't wait to die and go to the celestial kingdom. Due to all the plastic surgeries, there were pills aplenty in Kelly's home. Jasper says everyone in the family is an addict, but Kelly is the only one with a police record. In an effort to keep the party going, Kelly had a side hustle pushing prescription pills to future heroin junkies. The family cleaned up the mess the first time she got busted, going to great lengths to blame and bully the police with claims they set Kelly up. When Kelly moved on to selling her double-D-sized assets resulting in a solicitation arrest, they kicked her out. Jasper found Kelly living on the streets of Salt Lake, cleaned her up, and restored access to her family's money. Kelly was still strung out on drugs, but her parents were willing to funnel her cash so long as she stayed out of sight and out of trouble. Jasper did them a solid by taking Kelly off their hands. Even Kelly was happy with the deal. She got all the drugs she wanted and didn't have to blow anyone to get them. I could tell this story pained Jasper. Maybe he doesn't pay proper homage to Kelly's colossal titties, but he spoke with a genuine affection for her. Brandon was listening with rapt interest, even knowing this put the kibosh on his big story. Steroid Man looked like he'd still be interested in pummeling Brandon. After a few more minutes of unpleasantries, we were on our way, balls still intact. Taj should have been happy to know there were fellow beaver leavers in town. I thought sexually frustrating women was his thing. What Taj did instead was take a slapdash dive into the pool of self-pity he's been nearly drowning in lately. He bemoaned how sad it was that gays have to play hide-and-seek with their sexuality. They don't if they're a cat. We don't discriminate based on what you do with your wang. If you want to stick it in a honey hole, it's all the same to us. On the subject of cats, Miss Kitty has become a regular at Juniper Hollow. Brandon explained to Boyd the only laws being broken concerned truth in advertising. Jasper and the Pussycats may have gargantuan muscles, but they got them from the gym. Not that powdered jizz they sell by the truckload. As promised, Brandon zipped his lips about Jasper's Janet Reno dance parties. None of this did anything to absolve Boyd's fixation with Juniper Hollow. Something had to be going on there. Boyd moved on to the next target, Kelly Stratton. Even more appalling, he started arranging play dates for Miss Kitty and Cupcake. And I'm not yanking your yardage here. This son of a bitch is pimping out my girlfriend to a screeching ball of mummified tofu. As if this wasn't enough to contend with, Blue is getting riper by the day, and more desperate. Now that Rudy is out of the hospital, she befouls the air at Legacy Grove seemingly just for kicks. Thankfully, Old Smeller refrains from bothering people when they're working. It's the only smidgen of human decency Blue seems willing to extend. I take a literal breather during the day with Brandon, enjoying our job at the Naval Weekly Banner. We usually start out with a couple of number fives from Holy Cow. Double bacon burgers. Brandon drinks both sodas, but I hold my own on the rest of the order. They have the most delicious crinkle fries. I abstain from using their homemade fry sauce, however. Unlike the town folk of Naval, I'm completely grossed out by this nasty concoction of mayonnaise and ketchup. We eat in the Jeep, listening to music with the air conditioner cranked up for maximum enjoyment. Brandon has to be on the front desk at the Banner from 11:30 to 1 p.m. while everyone goes to lunch. Usually, nothing exciting happens other than a few people wander in to place a classified ad or drop off a PSA. That's public service announcement for those of you not in the news biz. Once in a while, that smushy turd, Kip Nichols, slithers in for a little flapjaw, pretending he's on official business from the Pitt County Sheriff's Department. Kip wears his uniform even when he isn't working, which is usually when he leeches into the Banner. He's fishing for something, obviously related to Blue. Under normal circumstances, Brandon would tell a guy like Kip to go fuck himself sideways. In this case, there was no need. Blue McKenna did all the fucking for Kip. Oh, you didn't know about that? In addition to knocking knobbies with Kip, Blue has also performed the no pants dance with Stephen Finch, drug dealer extraordinaire for the rectal surgeons, the guy who edits her books, and of course, Scotty Sphincter. And these are just the Johns I know about. After everyone comes back from lunch, Brandon moves to his cubicle in the bullpen. That's where a bunch of other reporters have their desks. I'm guessing if you don't know what a PSA is, you've probably been under a rock so long you think a bullpen is for cows. Brandon spends an hour or so organizing said PSAs, getting them loaded on the website for the Banner. We're ready for a break by 3, which is when a Taste of Heaven bakery sells all its donuts half off. The selection is picked over and there's never any chocolate crullers, but Brandon is such a cheap wad he can't resist.
Hang tight, kiddies. We'll be back in a scratch. One good quirk leads to another. If you're enjoying Quirky Cat Gets Ghosted, you should pounce over to audible.com and snag yourself a download of Quirky Cat Goes Splat by Adele Park. Splat is the story of two twitchy teenagers who team up with Skitters the cat to raise holy hell. Quirky Cat Goes Splat. It's the cat's meow. Get Splat today on audible.com.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
After our break, it's time to visit the Naval Justice Center, which is a good-sized complex that houses the police department, the Pitt County Sheriff's Department, and the district court. Brandon checks all the arrest blotters and court dockets, jotting down anything the editor might want to follow up on. No, blotters aren't those things you put on your desk. And if you think dockets are a pair of pants, you're just hopeless. Brandon's shift ends at 4:30, but we can leave early if he's working on a story. Sometimes we get a jump start previewing the bands who will be assaulting everyone's ears at the weekly Sunday's Celebration gathering in Central Park. Other times we go out on real interviews, or try to. I think it's safe to say Brandon has burned his bridges with the people at Juniper Hollow. Taj has started calling Brandon Blue's Clues. Blue is an overrated cartoon dog. The show is so smarmy, I'm happy the lead character isn't a cat. Nonetheless, there's something to be learned from this ridiculous character. Humans need help. The only way to stamp out the stink that is Blue McKenna is to figure out why she crashed her truck. The answers are right there in the photo album Taj found in her writing nook. The problem is, Brandon is concentrating on the wrong pictures, and Boyd never saw the ones of the bridge outside the entrance to Juniper Hollow. These were taken by Moon. She never shared them with Boyd, figuring he was only interested in the property itself, and just like Taj and Brandon, she didn't notice the dim figure floating in the middle of the road. If these Nancy Drews would pull their heads out of their butts for 5 seconds, maybe they'd get somewhere with this case. Though none too bright in life, Blue has figured out a way to ensnare me in death. Her plans are like something hatched from a 6-year-old who's just pooped their pants. I was coerced into one hell of a mind-bending afternoon because of that stupid apparition. It was a Saturday, which meant that Brandon was sleeping in. Taj had just left for the pool, heading out on the ATV after devouring an enormous plate of huevos rancheros. I've learned to just say no when Taj starts dicing chilies. We had leftover pizza from the night before, so I ate the sausage off a slice and topped off my tank with some wet kitty food. I still like processed gunk from time to time. There's so much salt and fat in those little cans, it's hard not to enjoy them. With nothing on the agenda for the day, and a welcome reprieve from the slap-you-silly temperatures we normally have in Naval, I headed to Juniper Hollow. Fletcher's sneak cuts a lot of time off the trip, especially from Legacy Grove. Like Boyd, Miss Kitty is always on the lookout when it comes to keeping tabs on the activities at Juniper Hollow. She usually sees me and climbs down the ridge, not using that ladder in the catacombs. She isn't stupid, you know. Miss Kitty picks her way down a rocky slope which is too steep for humans, but not a bad jaunt for a cat. Moments after I arrived on the little boat launch where I hang around to let Miss Kitty know I'm on the property, she came zipping up the wooden dock. How did she arrive so quickly, you ask? Well, it's because she was already on site. With Cupcake, the gnarly white ball of pathetic despair. In that instant, Miss Kitty confirmed what I'd been suspecting for a few weeks now. She's sleeping with the enemy. I arched my back, hissing at Miss Kitty's command to calm down. When has telling someone to calm down ever helped a situation? It's like lighting a fart on fire. I would have vacated the property right then and there, except I was tuckered from the climb through Fletcher's sneak. Ah, quit with the fat shaming already. If this was a corporate office, these kind of remarks would get you fired. Jerk. Really, it's too late to take it back. Miss Kitty was batting on both teams, purring and ping-ponging between me and Cupcake. Who let the dogs out? Good God. Someone needs to shake the mothballs out of Kelly Stratton's Barbie doll head. She's so strung out, she doesn't even know Cupcake is roaming around like a wild hedgehog, cavorting with cats. I was working up a wad of steamy splooge to spray in Cupcake's beady little eyes when the smell began to trickle in. All three of us jerked our heads in the direction it was coming from, the gates marking the entrance to Juniper Hollow. No mistaking the ooky green mist, only today it looked lighter. A hopeful thought floated through my heart. Is Blue fading? If so, does that mean she's on the pathway to irrelevancy? One could only hope. For the moment, though, she was beckoning me. Like an idiot, I mindlessly followed, cursing myself for acting like a witless, obedient dog. Speaking of stupid canines, Cupcake had never been off the property before. I looked up and down the dirt road in front of Juniper Hollow, praying a car would come by and save the world from another twitchy moron. Blue's putrid, pale green image hovered near a piling on the bridge. Cupcake pissed himself in fear. I had to step back to avoid getting sprayed with hot pee. Judas Priest! Miss Kitty, being of far sounder mind and much hardier bladder, did her best to encourage this preposterous Nimrod to chill out. Blue seemed to welcome the ear-splitting yaps. Still no sign of a speeding car. Where were the drunk drivers when you needed them? Certainly not in teetotaling Pitt County. Cupcake decided to be the one to take action. Not on purpose. Cupcake is too feeble-minded to do anything with or on purpose. Confused by Blue's stenchy vapor, Cupcake allowed himself to be enticed by the blood-red belladonna flowers encircling one of the stone pillars on the bridge. There's belladonna aplenty on the grounds of Juniper Hollow, but those flowers are royal purple, very pretty, and very hallucinogenic. Who knew what the flaming red, open-heart surgery blooms smothering the bridge were capable of? Cupcake was about to find out. Dogs have a nasty habit of eating or fucking whatever catches their eye. It took me a second to comprehend the weird red stain forming around Cupcake's mouth was from slurping down belladonna. Miss Kitty let out a yowl so mournful it broke my heart. Shit. I guess someone has to be the hero here. Without giving it much thought, I pounced toward Cupcake, yanking a wad of belladonna out of his jaws as I went. I landed hard, nearly breaking my head open. Gagging, I recoiled, trying to spit out a vine of soggy red flowers. They tasted like a combo of tomato juice and butthole. Without thinking, I licked my lips, swallowing little bits of masticated flowers. Uh-oh. Miss Kitty looked confused. Perhaps she was wondering how her nooner with Cupcake had gotten so far off track. I'm sure she wasn't expecting me to show up and catch her canoodling with a canine. Where is your pride, Miss Kitty? Not that there's anything wrong with breeding outside your species. My best friend was a dog who went full tilt for cats. Grundle didn't care what sex they were. He was just smart enough to recognize that felines rule and dogs drool. I bid a sad goodbye to Grundle last spring when he died of prostate cancer. Not a big surprise. Grundle's balls were so big they almost touched the ground when he walked. Kinda glad I never partook in any Grundle groping. I miss him, though. Grundle would have been immensely helpful in this precarious situation. I've dabbled in the mind-altering side of belladonna on several occasions. Nothing could prepare me for the trip I took at Juniper Hollow that day. Blue emerged from her gaseous green state into a full-blown phantom, and she wasn't the only one. There, under the bridge, was a glowing light so warm and welcoming, I felt like I was coming home from a 100-year journey. Down the embankment I went, not caring that I was crashing through low brambles, likely picking up a horde of ticks in the process. Cupcake was on my heels, in every sense possible. It was like someone had Velcroed this repulsive mutt to my hind end. only now Cupcake was totally silent. I prayed he had fully emptied his bladder. The light was the most intense under one of the pilings of the bridge. The belladonna was so thick you almost couldn't see the granite underneath it. And yet, I somehow understood everything wasn't as it appeared. Something about this particular pillar held the key to everything. The light was luminous. Warm and French toasty one minute, sea breezy cool the next. It was hauntingly sad. I became one with the energy, and then I understood. Time disappeared. I woke up at the Little Angels Veterinary Clinic in Naval. Cupcake was on a table across the room from me, legs stiff in the air. Was he dead? A direct shot of whiz in the doctor's face confirmed that he wasn't. I kind of respected that move. Memories flooded in, fuzzy and sort of scary. I knew what happened to Blue McKenna. She wasn't going to let me have a moment's peace until everyone else knew it, too.
What's more quirky than cannabis? A reality TV show where everyone is half-baked. Quirky Cannabis Country by Adele Park is a trip you'll never forget. Get Quirky Cannabis Country today on Audible.com. Quirky Cannabis Country. Snag your copy before the whole place goes up in smoke.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.